is that you kind of lose sight of the questionnaire. So who's the one that keeps law and order to make sure that the project is not veering off somewhere and not applying to
Sarah?
Sorry, you're the policeman, huh?
Yeah. I'm definitely kind of aware of the process and trying to get us to stick to the process, like all the little steps that we need to take and coming back. And Steve is definitely there, too. He's there.
He knows the process.
Right, but I'm more of an idea person. And Sarah's more of a, we need to stick to the straight line.
Yeah. All right. So you're the visionary and she's the detail.
Yeah.
And that's what you really need.
Well, no, it's huge. And that's a learning lesson unto itself. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you learned that, Angela, with all the people you deal with in the organization.
Yeah.
Is that everybody's...
It's different.
They call them blind spots. Mm-hmm. And everybody's... Their skills are great. And
yes.
Sarah was pointing out, but... Meanwhile, they're completely unaware of some of the other things that have to be done.
Yes.
And so, okay. So Sarah keeps everybody on the straight and narrow make sure that when it's finally old. So now, Sarah, how do you collect all this information? Is it?
So this year we tried something a little bit different. In mm-hmm. the past, we took all the questions that we had to answer and we kind of farmed it out to the different officers to kind of answer and write up. Mm-hmm. And this year we all sat together in a room with everybody being on a computer and we all contributed to every single question. And I think it went really well that way because then we got every single perspective.
It took three days.
Wow.
During the winter break. While all the other faculty at the college were home relaxing, we were... here for three straight days.
Yeah, we definitely sacrificed for this.
Well, good for you.
It's a win. It's all to win, right?
Well, I imagine if you tried to have each question answered, you're not going to get consistency through the way it's written.
Yes, right. That's exactly it. The writing style was consistent, and we didn't miss any details because we had seven people.
There you go. So it's just the seven people writing it, even after all that other work is going on?
Yeah.
It all boils down to you seven.
It's
again,
all the young right. and the advisors. Yes.
Right. So when's the convention? Is this now you submitted this?
Yes, we did. We submitted it in
April 7th through the
10th. All right. What's your prognostication there, Stephen? You think you're going to stick it to Bergen County?
I don't know what Bergen County. See, here, the wild card is we don't know what Bergen County did. They might
have
been working
as
hard as we did.
You didn't have spies on Bergen County?
No, we don't take it that far. Paranoia doesn't go that far. But I feel pretty good, but I've been known to be very wrong. I've been known to think that we were going to lose, and we were named one of the top 30 chapters in the country. Mm-hmm. So this year I feel good, really, for the first time. So I don't know what that means.
We do know this. And I'm sure you will voice it right after you hear it. The work, the accomplishment has already happened.
It has, yes.
Right? The fact that you got Angela here and the seven folks who have put together what sounds like a really positive event and a learning experience, mm-hmm. and now Angela's going to take her U of Penn and kick butt down there.
Hopefully.
We're looking forward to it. Is all that matters, right? That's the whole point of the organization.
That is the whole point.
This is icing.
But
it seems like you still got something for Bergen County. I don't know what it is. You might have to have a little session on it.
Let's hope they don't download this and listen to it.
Friendly competition.
I never heard anybody.
Well, this was very informative. I only scratched the surface. There's obviously...
what direction we want to take it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to hearing about it, and certainly we'll bring you all back next year to see how it all comes to fruition.
Thank you.
It's been a pleasure to learn all about this.
Thank you so much.
Once again, Donna, amazing group of people that I get to speak to every month, and never fails to amaze me how many unique folks are here. Thank you so much for coming in. Thank you, Angela, for making it.
Thanks.
Good luck to all of you. And let's see if you get kick butt down there at the convention.
We'll
let you know.
Very good. Angela, good luck to the college career. You're a very astute lady, and
looking forward
to hearing big and great things from you.
I'll come back and then see you. Thank you.
Well, we'll have a whole hour session about you because you got a lot to talk about. It's awesome. All right. You were listening to Good Morning Hunter and Hunchberg.com. That was folks from RVCC, Phi Theta Kappa, and You just learned all about the great things that go on over there at RVCC, and check it out. Been my pleasure being with you, as I am every weekday morning, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Thank you to Mike and Michelle, Stephen, Sarah, and Angela for their contributions to the show. Vince Orlino says, never say I should have. Hey, got to take care of yourself this weekend with A, Valentine's Day, and B, the weather, because it's going to be very cold, and you do not want to have any issues with pets, elderly, and or your car. So check all that out. Stay tuned for Hunter and Helpline. Right after this, you listen to Good Morning Hunter on HunterShipper.com.
Where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimum.
Our weekly real estate show called Real Estate Matters, and we're going to get started.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Counselor's Chat. We are in our new place. This is Ruth Altamura Roll, your host. I'm a licensed professional counselor, and we just moved, to this most fantastic, fantastic. If anybody knows Flemington, if you've ever been through Flemington, it's the building with these huge, it's yellow with these huge, gorgeous columns. Oh, my gosh. There is a ballroom here. Oh, my gosh. I am like in heaven to be able to come to this beautiful place to do my show. So anyway, I just wanted to say that and get my show started. If there's background noise, it's because we still need carpet. There's still things going on here, still building going on. It smells like fresh paint. And really excited about being here and being able to continue Counselor's Chat.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
The weather for Hunterdon County, it is currently 48 degrees, and we are expecting a day that it's mostly sunny with a high near 50. There is a chance of showers tonight, mainly after 11 p.m., with a 50% chance of precipitation. Thursday, a chance of showers and cloudy, gradually becoming more sunny, with a high near 53. Thursday night, a chance of showers, and the temperature a little around 31. Friday, partly sunny. Saturday, mostly sunny. And Sunday, mostly sunny. The weekend looks like it's going to be a little nippy, but sunny. So that's a good thing. And it is currently 12:09.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908 713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
A college education, you don't have to go into debt before you even begin.
The actual price of a college education today could cost more than $200,000. Even if you don't qualify for financial need-based assistance, Premier College Funding can help you and your family cut college costs and find efficient ways to pay for college.
Call 908-788-3799 for a free consultation or visit us online at premiercollegefundingllc.com. Getting a college degree doesn't have to break the bank.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura-Roll, your host for today's program. And I wasn't sure of my topic this morning, so I hadn't picked anything. I had seen some things about addiction that I was thinking I might talk about. And as I was looking through things and thinking and things and pondering my show topic, and, you know, I will say this. A lot of people who do the Hunterdon Chamber Radio, they pre-plan and they have guests lined up good, you know, 6 weeks in advance, and sometimes they even come up with their script for the show. And I don't do that. I have a very strong tendency to come up with a topic last minute, and sometimes the night before or the day of, and then oftentimes, I would say 99.9% of the times, I promote it earlier in the morning on different sites, such as my Facebook Counselors Chat Facebook site and other sites. But this morning, I really just couldn't come up with anything. And I was thinking about things that are going on in the world, which is something that I often do. And sometimes it can be part of what I do to get some inspiration for a show topic. And I was thinking a lot about this whole past not even seven days. You know, we now have a new president. My last show was about conservatism and mental health, and I know that there's some articles, and I've had some pushback that actually conservatism promotes mental illness. And I think it's a very narrow view of, you know, being politically correct insults and those kinds of, those things I actually don't believe from my perspective. And of course, my show is based on my perspective, and things that I learned about being a counselor. So, microaggressions and political correctness and all of those things I don't think have a real place. And I think it takes away from personal responsibility. And I think that we live in a time right now that is very shaming. So that if I have a particular view, I may be shamed for that view. And there's a huge difference between shame and guilt, okay? Guilt is I did something wrong. Shame is there's something about me that is wrong. I am unworthy. I'm a bad person. I'm flawed, okay? Guilt doesn't mean I'm flawed. It just means I made a mistake or I did something that, you know, has some connotation to it. I may have a negative feeling, and oftentimes people will talk about feeling guilty when the reality is what they're actually feeling is shame. And I believe shame comes in two forms. There is healthy shame. It's a universal feeling. Most people, one time or another, feel some shame. And then there's toxic shame. And toxic shame is that part where we end up feeling wrong, bad, unworthy, damaged in some way. Now, a lot of us do carry some toxic shame. A lot of us do have some sense of damage. Can't help it. We grew up in childhoods where our parents are not perfect. They're victims of their childhood, and we become victims as a consequence. Doesn't mean our parents are bad. So it's not about shaming our parents. It means that it's part of human nature. And shame can mean different things to different people. So again, sometimes people use the word guilt and embarrassment when they're talking about shame. However, guilt generally means that it's some kind of action that someone committed that was negative. Okay, so it's not about fundamentally who you are as a person, it's about what you do as a person. So, you know, we had these protests, and the day after, I guess on Saturday, the day after President Trump was sworn in. And I don't really think that they necessarily had any specific one voice from everything that I can see from it, other than women protesting over many, many different things. So that was not a, and men also. Protesting over many different things. And when I watched it, or watched parts of it, or saw some of the things on Facebook and other social media, it really, I found as a counselor, I found it disturbing and distressing and sad. I'm going to even underline that, sad. I am very much a feminist. Now, I will explain to you my perception. Again, my show, my perception of being a feminist. For me, it means equal rights for men and women. Equal rights, equal voice, equal opportunity. Equal access to choice. So, currently, as a woman, I have a good education. I have my master's in counseling. I am a small business owner. My practice, okay, in counseling. I speak up. My voice is heard. Here I am on the radio. I am sharing my opinion. I have the right to do that. I vote. I have that right. I have called my congressman and my senator and shared with them my views. I have even gone to Washington, D.C. and marched, as is my prerogative to do so. I have the right to make choices for my health and well-being. I can choose to be married. I can choose not to be married. I have equal rights to men. And men have equal rights to me. And I have no fear that my rights are going to be taken away by our government. That is not going to happen. Now, I see that there are a lot of women that are afraid that is going to happen. But I do not believe that it's going to happen. And why is that? Because someone like me will voice my opinion. Now, do I believe that we still have some situations where men and women in the same position may make different salaries? Unfortunately, I think that may still be happening a little bit. At the same time, when we look at the collective, I'm going to use that word, we say women make less money than men. Women choose to be in positions like nurses and teachers and therapists. In administrative positions, we still tend to choose those kinds of jobs. In other words, a woman may be a paralegal before she becomes a lawyer. So we tend to choose jobs where we actually get paid less. And so when you look at all the people in the workplace, the men tend to look like they make more because they're more like the doctors and the lawyers and the executives. But that doesn't mean that women can't have those jobs. It means that women tend to choose the nurse and the administrative assistant and the teacher. We tend to choose those jobs. It doesn't mean that we actually are making less. We're making what is the fee or the, you know, the payment for that particular job. And so then it begins to look like we make less. And I think that's an important distinction to make. Because a woman lawyer will charge exactly the same as a male lawyer. And a woman doctor will charge exactly the same as a male doctor. And a woman executive will make just the same kind of money as a male executive. It's just that women tend not to choose those kinds of jobs quite as often as men do. Nothing says that a woman can't own a construction company. Of course she can. Nothing stops her. Nothing stops a woman from being a welder or a plumber. Women just tend not to go into those jobs. Not that they don't, they just tend not to. So it's the choices we make. You're talking to someone, you're not talking to me, I'm talking to you. I was the first woman in my high school to take wood shop. I had had so much home ec, sewing and cooking, that if I had to take one more sewing and cooking class and someone else tell me again how to measure a cup and the difference between wet measurements and dry measurements, I was going to explode. I wanted to do something different. So I took wood shop and I had a fight for it. And I got it. I am a feminist. I have lived on my own as a single woman for many years. I am currently married. My choice. I also recognize that I don't depend on my husband. I enjoy his company. I depend on myself. We have a great relationship. We participate in the relationship equally. So, back to shame and guilt. Okay, so I gave you some of my concepts and ideas of what it means to be a feminist. One of the things that for me is included is something called self-respect. Self-respect, self-esteem. I am not an object. I am a human being that has choices. I respect myself, and I expect others to respect me as a consequence to that self-respect. That means that I also have some good boundaries, and I have some good limits. That means I will not put myself in a situation that is demeaning. Now, I looked at these protests and these protesters, and when you wear a hat on your head that signifies a specific part of your body, you are turning yourself into an object of that particular part of your body. So it would be like saying, well, the thing that I want to promote is my left hand. So I'm going to put a left-handed hat on my head, and I'm going to signify that that describes who I am. I am a left hand. And when people look at that, and you may think, and they may think, that they have the freedom, and they do have the freedom. I'm not going to say that they don't have the freedom. They have the freedom to do that. The message, however, is they are stating, I am a body part, not a human being. And I want you to respect me as a body part. That is the message that I received. And I felt sad, very sad, looking at sort of what I, in my, from my perspective and my knowledge about something that is based in shame. And like I said, there's healthy shame and toxic shame. Based in shame that is shameless. So let me talk about that a little bit more. Healthy shame is important. Toxic shame, just the word toxic, is poisonous. So healthy shame is something that we're taught, obviously. And it keeps us from doing things like wearing a particular body part on the top of our head. Healthy shame promotes well-being. It builds our self-esteem and our value system. It actually provides a sense of freedom in our lives because it helps define our limits and our boundaries. Yes, healthy shame helps define our limits and our boundaries. So I will say healthy shame says I don't walk down the street with a particular type of hat on my head, which defines me as that body part. Healthy shame means I say no. I say no. And I say no because I mean no. Because that word no that I'm using that word because I have a good boundary and I know my limits. Healthy shame is more sensible and health promoting. That's healthy shame. It's healthy. Then we have toxic shame. Toxic shame can ruin our lives. It's painful. We have no boundaries. We have no limits. It ruins our lives. It's poisonous. We can be even unaware that we have it. It's painful. It can spiral down to depression, feelings of hopelessness and despair. It can cause anxiety. It means that I define myself as inadequate, as a whole human being. That I cherish every part of me, not just one part of me. And I don't define myself by one part of me. I am a whole human being. And I am enough as that human being. I am enough for who I am. If I have a core belief that says I don't matter and I'm inadequate and I'm a bad person and I'm not enough and I'm a failure and I'm stupid, these belief systems, those are toxic. They're painful and they're toxic. And sometimes when I have that base of toxic shame, I may do things as like a pendulum swing that goes on the other side. I don't have good boundaries and good limits. I think there's this core part of me that says, I am not worthy. Therefore, I need to make a big, bold statement that I am worthy. See, there's the pendulum swing. And we are all worthy. So I'm going to take a little break, do some commercials, and I'm going to come back and talk a little bit more about this topic, toxic shame, healthy shame. And hopefully this will be a little helpful. And Ruth Altam, your role, licensed professional counselor, and I will be back in just a few moments.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunter Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
I'm your eyes remain, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambee's, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambee's Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambee's Purely Delicious.
See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program. And I am also a licensed professional counselor. And I am talking about, I guess, a little bit about feminism, a little bit about shame, healthy shame, and toxic shame. And my topic is, I'm going to say, kind of based on the march that happened that I observed that took place on Saturday. And I'm going to talk about toxic shame a little bit, where it comes from. So generally speaking, in most cases, shame becomes something that is internalized from our childhood. We are shamed. A parent can unintentionally transfer their shame to their children through verbal messages or nonverbal behaviors or examples, and sometimes just listening or observing our parent. The way they talk to themselves or treat themselves. It might be that a child feels unloved in reaction to a parent's depression or indifference or absence or irritability or addiction or whatever else. Sometimes a parent can be competitive or jealous of their child and may overreact to that. So a child can interpret some of the things that they observe or that they hear to be inadequate, to feel unloved, to feel there's something wrong with them. If a child is harshly scolded, or if they're said, you know, you're stupid, you're dumb, you don't know anything, you should know better, those kinds of you statements can be very shaming. And the child ends up feeling ashamed. Shame on you. Alone. They don't have a good opportunity to bond with a parent. And that shame, again, it's internalized. It's toxic. It's toxic because it can lead to things like aggression, depression, eating disorders, post-traumatic stress, addiction. It generates low self-esteem, anxiety, irrational guilt, perfectionism, and codependency. And it limits our ability to enjoy satisfying relationships and professional success. So if we look at this thing that happened on Saturday, now I do believe some people went with really good intentions out of fear that women are going to be repressed, out of fear that we are going to have nuclear war, out of fear that we are going to engage in destroying our earth through completely ignoring climate change and creating dirty air and dirty water and all of those things. I believe people went out of fear of losing their health care insurance. I believe that people went out of fear for many things. Being able to lose their ability to get an abortion, which is for me, a whole other topic. I will say, okay, if we have toxic shame that leads to aggression, depression, addiction, low self-esteem, anxiety, irrational guilt, perfectionism, and codependency, if toxic shame limits our ability for satisfying relationships and professional success, from my perspective, looking at what happened on Saturday, I viewed many, many people who are and they could say, no, 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 this, and that's all right. That's quite all right. You don't have to agree with me. Not at all. I don't expect people to agree with me. I expect people to disagree with me, and that is okay. I'm okay if you disagree with me. At the same time, what I observed, the aggression, the anxiety, the irrational guilt, the codependency, stems from unhealed toxic shame. In that pendulum swing, I have deep, deep shame, deep toxic shame. I will swing the other way. I'm not healed. I just swing the other way. It's what we do as human beings. How many people have said, oh man, I am so thirsty. Now, we don't necessarily go and get a 6-ounce glass of water. We haven't had anything to drink all day. Our mouth is really dry. We're really thirsty. We drink down a whole bottle of water. We just drink it down because we're so thirsty. We want to satisfy that thirst. So we drink more than we may need. We drink more than our body can handle all at once. I'm really, really hungry. I haven't had anything to eat all day. I know I tend to be guilty of that. I am busy, I have clients, I'm working all day, I find that I'm really hungry. I know I have a really good dinner plan, but I walk in the house, I am so hungry, I open up a box of crackers. And I eat more And studies will show this. We tend to then eat more than we need because we have not been taking care of ourselves all along. It's that pendulum swing. I'm either starving or I stuff myself. I'm not going down that center row where I am taking care of myself throughout the day. So that when we start healing from toxic shame and build our self-esteem, we end up doing things in a different way. We don't move, we don't swing, okay, to that area where we are showing, where we're being aggressive. I am not sensitive to, because I feel secure in. If I'm afraid that people are going to break into my house, I'm going to put up locks and blinds and iron bars and all whistles and all kinds of things. And the more fear I have, the greater I'm going to try and protect myself. The less fear I have, if I know I can take care of myself, I don't need all of that. So the important thing is to recognize, I think, and again, my perspective, that some of the things that we saw, and I'm going to say it doesn't apply to everyone that marched, because there were so many different topics. I'm marching because I want to protect the climate. I'm marching because I want to make sure that we don't have a proliferation of atomic weapons. I'm marching because I want to make sure that everybody gets health care. I'm marching because I want to promote, I want to make sure that everybody has access to abortions. I'm marching because I don't like Donald Trump. I'm marching because Hillary Clinton didn't win. There was no real general one thing. And I look at people like Madonna and Miley Cyrus, who are forever grabbing themselves. And I keep saying, I don't understand what's that about. What is that? What is that? Is that what we do? Is that what we're going to do? We're all going to walk around the streets grabbing ourselves? It's like saying, you know what? Let's have a free-for-all and we could all go urinate anywhere we want. Who cares? That's where healthy shame comes in, because yes, we do care. I do care. I have some shame. I have some healthy shame. It prevents me from displaying things that don't necessarily need to get displayed. It prevents me from being aggressive, being irrational. And being irrational never helps. Being codependent never helps. Where's the self-respect and self-care in that? And I think it can be more damaging. More damaging. So I'm going to take another short little break, and I will be back. I'm Ruth Altamura Roll, licensed professional counselor, and your host for Counselor's Chat.
I'm your ice cream man, stop me when I'm passing by.
It's time to visit Pambies, the newest ice cream shop in town. Pambies Purely Delicious Ice Cream, Gelato, and Sorbet, made in Hunterdon County from unique blends of natural extracts, herbs, and spices. Created with a rich, creamy texture bursting with flavor. Tickle your palate with exotic flavors such as rose cardamom, hot mango, and ginger lemon. Or satisfy your craving for dark chocolate, pecans, and caramel. Located on Route 31, south of Clinton. Pambies, purely delicious.
See now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamirroll, your host for today's program. I'm talking about some of the things that has gone on in our country in the past couple of weeks, past week, and how it relates to shame, toxic shame, and healthy shame. So shame is closely related to embarrassment and humiliation and guilt. We feel ashamed when we feel worthless, unimportant, not worthy, and toxic shame is often painful. Shame is usually toxic shame where we want to hide ourselves, okay? And the difference between guilt and shame is guilt is often related to something that I've done. Okay, I feel guilty after taking an extra portion of cake. Shame, on the other hand, is based on an inside wound. I feel bad. I feel unworthy. Stupid, dumb. I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I took another piece of cake. Okay, there's a difference there. So, healthy shame may say, you know what, I may want another piece of cake. However, I think I'm going to skip it. Okay, that's generated by a sense of healthy shame. Toxic shame, again, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, I can't do anything right, what's wrong with me? So, we can heal from toxic shame. We don't have to protest in such a way where we actually add to our shame and embarrass ourselves and look foolish. Now, someone might say, I can't believe as a counselor that you are shaming people that are out there protesting for what they think is correct. You know what? You have every right to protest. You have every right to contact your congressman, write a letter, make your voice heard. Absolutely. Every right. And you have a right to do it in a way that is not shameful. That's not toxic. Where you can be respected for your opinion. So, healing toxic shame means that I may need to center myself, do some deep breathing, practice some mindfulness, notice my feelings. I may need to do some mirror work and stand in front of a mirror and look at myself, look into my own eyes, and begin to say positive things to myself. You see, self-esteem, and you know I've said this, comes from myself. I don't need to demonstrate so that you like me, so that I feel good about myself. That's other esteem. Telling myself that I love myself, that I am smart, that I am creative, that I am beautiful, that I am strong, that I have good boundaries, that I'm not afraid to say no. If I can say that to myself, if I could look into a mirror and make that eye contact and say those things to myself, I will not put myself in a degrading situation. Because I have esteem. I have esteem. Positive affirmations are extremely useful. Now, a lot of times I have clients that say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I believe that about me. Sometimes it takes time to let those things sink in. Sometimes we need to review the messages that we received as a child. What were some of the things that were told to me that I believe about myself? Some of those statements and things that may have been shaming. And they were said to me because my parents were also shamed by their parents and or teachers. It's what happens. And the thing is that I, not just I, the therapist helping you, Ruth, I can change that within myself by changing the way I think and changing the way I believe and changing the way I act. So if I begin to look at myself with self-respect, self-esteem, self-worth, if I say positive things to myself, if I stop calling myself stupid and dumb and this and that, all these negative things, I begin to let go of that toxic shame. And I begin to make choices that are healthy for me. So that I am not a display. And I don't put myself on display to be laughed at and ridiculed. And that's why I think this was so sad. Because their voice became a joke. Really? You're walking around with what on your head? You're grabbing what parts of your body? You're walking around showing what? There's no shame in that. See, there's that pendulum. There's that aggressive pendulum swing. So either I hide or I superexpose. You know, it's the same thing when we work with people with body dysmorphic issues or eating disorders. I am more than my fat cells. If I just describe myself by a particular body part, I've limited myself. I am a whole human being with a voice that has the right to be heard. And if I take myself seriously, I will share my voice in a serious way, rather than looking silly. It was not Halloween. It was a time for women to speak up and say, we deserve respect. Now, how can you respect someone when you're walking around with the kind of body parts on their head? It's very hard to do that. How do you take someone seriously if they're walking around with a chicken head on? You don't. You laugh. How do you take someone seriously who walks around the streets naked? You look at that person and you say, that person needs some help. And the thing that I want to get across is that there are many viewpoints in this that are important to people. But the mode of expression, I don't think benefited anyone. And I personally feel sad. Not only for those women, feel sad that we have taught women that this is an okay thing to do, that we're teaching our children that this is an okay thing to do, and to be expected to be taken seriously. because when I come from a place of self-respect, self-esteem, self-worth, I will be respected. So, I know last week was a bit of an opinion piece, and I think this week is a bit of an opinion piece. I do, a lot of the opinions that I hold for me do have a basis in what I've learned in terms of therapy and being a counselor, working in the field of addiction, talking to men and women whose lives have been destroyed by addiction, who have put themselves in places where shame is a huge part of what goes on in their lives. We demoralize and shame our addicts and our alcoholics, and it's reinforced by their own behavior because addiction will, it's one of the symptoms of addiction. It promotes bad behavior. Sober, I don't think I would rob a gas station. Sober, I wouldn't steal money out of my parents' wallet or steal their jewelry. Sober, I wouldn't prostitute to get money. Sober, I would have a job and I would be self-reliant. I would be a productive member of society. And as a counselor, my job is to help people become productive members of society and to help them remove the toxic shame that they carry around, because it doesn't help. So, on that note, if anyone is interested in finding out more about my practice, you can visit me on the web at www.alterolcounselor.net. I also have alterolcounselor.com, which is an older site that needs to be updated. I need to get my webmaster on that, and that's me. But you can find me at alterol, with two L's, counselor.net. You can also follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. I'd love to see you there. If you have any suggestions for a topic, you can put it there. Any comments about the show, I'd love to hear. You can also call me at 908-237-2899, 908-237-2899. I deal with all different kinds of topics. Addiction is probably one of the primary things that I work with. Alcoholism, recovery, people who grew up in families where there was addiction, codependency, adult children of alcoholics, depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress, eating disorders, low self-esteem, toxic shame, grief recovery, couples counseling, good communication skills, learning how to set healthy boundaries, learning about detachment and codependency. So those are things that I do. Again, visit me on the web. And I don't keep a waiting list, so if you would like to come and speak to me and make an appointment for some of the things that I've talked about, please feel free to do so. I expect that I may get some pushback on this topic for today, and that's okay. So again, I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat, and I will be back next week, coming from our new location here on Main Street in Flemington. Beautiful building. I'm going to go down and visit a little bit more. I'm going to go visit the rooms and look at the ballroom here and just kind of drool over our new place. So I hope you all have a good week.